Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
You have answered me. I am being crucified because I will deliver the Jewish people. And then he says, and the nations around the world. Read it. It's amazing. The Jewish people first, and then the nations around the world who will be set free, and then people that have died and are in the dust, and then a people who are not yet born.
Psalm 22 speaks of Jesus' crucifixion. It is a prophetic passage that foretold exactly what would happen to the Messiah. We are looking at Jesus throughout the Old Testament and his tremendous sacrifice for the Jew first, then for the Gentile. With more on this amazing prophetic passage out of Psalm 22, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
On the cross, Jesus became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. And so the Father looked away from the Son. And for the first time in existence, because Jesus became sin, our sin was laid upon him, the Father looked away, and there was some kind of separation from the Father and the Son. No wonder he cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from my cry? And then he goes on to talk about his experience. And his experience in Psalms 22 is a crucifixion. They pierced my hands and my feet. All my bones are out of joint. They divide my garments, and for my clothing they cast lots. That literally happened to Jesus. He says, my tongue clings to my jaw. Jesus said, I thirst. In Psalms 22, it says, I cried out in the daytime, and I cried out at night. The Bible says that there became darkness for an hour upon the cross, or their darkness was on the earth and cross. He cried out in the daytime and in the nighttime. That they surround him, they shoot out their lip, they mock him. All of these things happened to him. And then after all that, he says, you have answered me. And when you're reading it, highlight that or circle it. You have answered me. My God, why have you forsaken me? You have answered me. They are connected. And the next part of the psalm says that he would deliver the Jewish people. You have answered me. I am being crucified because I will deliver the Jewish people. And then he says, and the nations around the world. Read it. It's amazing. The Jewish people first, and then the nations around the world who will be set free, and then people that have died and are in the dust, and then a people who are not yet born. You and I are in Psalms 22. Jesus suddenly realizes, I'm dying for the Jew first and then for the Gentile, for all of those who have died that trusted in me, and for all of those who will live in the future and trust in me as well. And then after all of that, it says, it is finished. It's a Psalm of David. It's a prophetic psalm. And it is one of the most amazing documents in the entire Word of God. One of the most amazing documents in existence. Because it was written 1,000 years before Christ and 800 years before there was even crucifixion. Read it. Study it. This is homework. I don't give you guys homework much, all right? My buddy Pat Lazovich of Sierra Vista gives homework every week. I don't do it much. This is homework. Get a quiet place and read Psalm 22. Let it impact you, what God has done for you. Now, I want to read to you Isaiah 53. This is a little bit of a lengthy read. This passage is not an easy passage just to cover, okay? It's a little bit difficult. You got to put a little thinking on. My teachers used to say, you got to put your thinking cap on, okay? We need to do that. In Isaiah, there are four suffering servant passages. Each of these passages speak of Jesus. And you see that clearly as you go through it. Psalms 53 is the last, the fourth and the final one. And Psalms 53 is neglected by rabbis today. You can go online, you can go to YouTube. There's a guy that walks the streets of Jerusalem with a Bible and he stops random Jewish people and says, can I read to you a chapter out of Isaiah? And they say yes. He records the ones that say yes. I guess he doesn't record the ones that say no. And he reads them Isaiah 53. And it is so much like Jesus that watch their responses. They say things like, that's not in the Bible. Where are you reading? They're shocked because it so much speaks of Christ. Listen to it. I want to read you Isaiah. This is the third of the suffering Psalms. Remember, Jesus is arrested, beaten, scourged, crucified. So here's what the suffering servant says. The Lord has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. The Bible says Jesus gave himself to the death of the cross. The Lord has opened my ear, I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. I gave my back to those who struck me. In other words, when Jesus was being scourged, he didn't hide his back like most people would. He turned his back to the lash and he took it. He says, and my cheek to those who tore out my beard. He didn't hide his face when they were grabbing handfuls of his beard and yanking them out of his face, but he gave his face to them. He says, I did not hide my face from the shame of their spitting. That's one of the predictions Jesus said. They will mock, they will spit. He took it. He let them spit in his face and he took it. Now listen to Isaiah 53, 1 through 10. This is the fourth of the suffering servant passages. In the first century, the Jewish rabbis recognized that there were these two strange accounts of the Messiah. One of them was suffering and one of them was victorious, sitting on a throne. So they came up with the idea of two messiahs, one suffering and one victorious. You and I now have clarity that he would come the first time as the suffering Messiah and the second time as the victorious Messiah. So this is the suffering Messiah. This is Isaiah 53, 1 through 10. Who has believed our report? And whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. He would become a human and he would grow as a root out of the dry ground. He has no form of comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Now, there's two thoughts on this. When we see him, there's no beauty that we have desired him. First of all, people say that this means that he was not good looking. He wasn't, Brad Pitt couldn't play him in a movie. George Clooney couldn't play him in a movie. I can't think of any other really good looking guys, so that's what I'm going to go with. All right. Maybe. But also remember, this is after Psalms 22, where it says his vintage was marred beyond the look of a man. So maybe it's referring to the fact that he was so beaten up that there was nothing that would draw us to him. Here comes our Savior, and he gets beaten so badly he doesn't look like a man. That's our Savior? How would we be drawn to a Savior who would go through that suffering? And then it says, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him, and we despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said, I'm so sorrowful, I think I could die. I believe in the garden he was carrying our grief and sorrow. We're going to talk about this in a few weeks. I don't think that he took it from us so we don't feel grief. I believe he carried it with us so it would not crush us. Yet we esteemed him stricken. We esteemed him stricken. Smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. The word chastisement means beating. The beating of our peace was upon him. In other words, he had his peace robbed from him that night, from the moment he was arrested until the moment they nailed him to that tree. And all of that was him having his peace taken from him so you could have peace. That is beyond circumstances. You ever had that strange peace? When you shouldn't have peace, but all of a sudden you have it? Because not only did Jesus take our sins, but he carried our griefs. And he had his peace taken from him so we could have peace. It goes on to say, and by his stripes we are healed. And don't misunderstand that. There are teachers and a false teaching that says Jesus was scourged so your sickness could be healed. And none of you guys are supposed to be sick. And if you had enough faith, you wouldn't be sick. It can't be saying that. I'm going to give you the very reason why it can't be saying that. Because all of us are going to get something and die if the Lord tarries. If Jesus is striped, if by his stripes we are healed, and that is applied to today, why does everyone who teaches that die? Why do they get sick and die if that's what it means? It means that in heaven, in eternity, Jesus takes our sickness from us and he was scourged so there would be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more suffering, no more sickness, and no more lame in heaven. By his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. There's not a person that doesn't need the sacrifice Jesus is giving. And the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. This is the Old Testament. I have a teaching called the Gospel in the Old Testament, where we go to the Old Testament to find the principles of the gospel. This is one of the passages. The Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted. He opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before the shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison to judgment. And who will declare his generations? For he was cut off from the land of the living. Who's going to declare his generations? He was killed. He was cut off from the land of the living. And then it says, for the transgressions of my people, he was stricken. He died for the transgressions of the people and made his grave with the wicked and the rich with his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there deceit in his mouth. He was sinless. There had been no violence by him. There had been no lies by him. He was tempted in every way that we are, yet without sin. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. All that he went through, all of the brutality, it pleased God. Why? Because of you, because of me. He loves you and wants you to be in eternity with him. He took your judgment. The wrath of God was poured out on the Lamb. It says he was put to grief when you made his soul an offering for sin. This is the Old Testament. Don't let people tell you Jesus made the wrong people mad and got himself crucified. And the disciples had to come up with something, so they said he died on the cross for your sins. Well, then how come it's foretold in Isaiah that he died for our sins? It goes on to say, when you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. His days will be prolonged. How can a person who died have their days prolonged? He was cut off from the land of the living. He will prolong his days. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is foretold in the Old Testament. Not just his beating, not just his crucifixion, but his resurrection. In the book of Acts, when the resurrection is being preached, they quote Psalm 16:10. You will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. The Bible foretold these things. You will prolong his days. And then it says this, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. Now let's go back up to our text. And here it says, he will be delivered to the Gentiles. He will be mocked. He will be insulted. He will be spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him. And on the third day, he will rise again. Do you see now that Jesus was just giving them predictions? This is why when they're critical of Jesus for giving these predictions right before they die, and they say, well, it doesn't matter, just making these things up. He can't be making them up because he was quoting passages. He didn't just go, I'm going to make it up. That the Christians didn't put this into the mouth of Jesus, which is the accusation, that Christians tampered with the Bible and put these words in the mouth of Jesus so it looks supernatural. It was foretold before in passages they could not tamper with. Isaiah is one of the first scrolls that was discovered in the Dead Sea Scrolls, and it was 1,000 years older than the oldest book of Isaiah that we had. And this passage is in it. It was hidden in 70 AD and discovered in 1947, and it has this passage in it. You can't say anybody tampered with it or made it up. You can't do it. It says then, but they understood none of these things. I think, again, we went over why. These things were hidden from them. Then we're told these things were hidden from them. They would remember them after he rose from the dead. It says, and then they remembered that he said that these things would happen. And they did not know the things which were spoken. Now, my application is pretty simple. We have Jesus predicting his death by using scripture to predict it, by using prophecy to predict it. And about a third of prophecy is unfulfilled. Jesus said to the scribes and Pharisees, you can tell the weather, but you can't tell the signs of your times. Could he say the same thing to us? Could we be at the brink? Jesus said, be ready. You don't know when I'm returning. Could we be at the brink of it all happening Jesus said, I come quickly, and what he meant was speedily. When it happens, it's going to happen. And you're concerned that your bid on your house isn't taken. Another bid missed, can't believe it. And Jesus is like, look around you. Prophecy is being fulfilled before our eyes. The Jews have returned to Jerusalem. There's war rumbling with Russia, who is allied with Persia for the first time in history. And the Bible said in the last days it was going to happen. Make things right with Christ now. If you die and you don't receive him, you will be separated from God forever in a place called hell. I keep promising a teaching on hell, and it's coming. I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about hell, and I'm diving into it now, right? I'm reading some books on it. I'm just diving in. I want to make sure I do it right. But it's a very real place. And God wants to give you eternal life so that when you die, you will be absent from this body and you will be present with the Lord. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, thank you that you have given us this account of Jesus predicting his own death by quoting what the Bible tells us in Psalms 22 and Isaiah 53 and Isaiah 52. And we pray now that you would help us to apply these truths to our lives, that you went through this incredible suffering for us. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a moment. But if you're here today and you have never received Christ, the Bible says in John 1:12, as many as receive him, he gives the power to become a child of God to those who believe in his name. This means that you open the door and you invite him in. Jesus said, I'm standing at the door and knocking, and if anyone opens that door, I will come in. Will you open the door to him today? You say, well, I go to church. I'm okay. Well, church can't save you. Going to church can't save you. A lot of people are going to go to church and end up separated from God. You have to be born again. Jesus said, unless you are born again, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. Your spirit has to be quickened. It has to be brought to life. And the only way that happens is for God to transform you by you saying, come into my life and do your work. You opening yourself up to him. You have the power. Jesus knocks and you open the door. And all I'm asking you to do today is open the door. And I also want you to know God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose. God wants you to be the light of the world. God wants to use you to influence the world around you so that other people will not go to hell and will find themselves in eternity. And when you are given eternal life, it's not just the length of days. That's a misunderstanding people have about heaven, that it's just this long life. It's not the length of, it's the quality of life and the length. You have total joy, total peace, total satisfaction forever and ever and ever when you receive Christ as your Savior. What an incredible promise. Have you received Christ? Are you willing to receive him today? I'm going to ask you if you want to receive him just to do something simple. Just raise your hand. Lift your hand up now. Lift it up high. Be bold. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Say, I want to give my life to Christ. God bless you up in the balcony. That's great. God bless you, sir, under the balcony. Just lift your hand up now. Again, lift it up high. You're saying, I want you in my life. I want to live for you. I want to give myself to you. God bless you, sir, off to my right. God bless you, sir, up in the balcony. All right. God bless you up in the balcony. That's awesome. Thank you. All right. You can put your hands down. And if you're online, you don't need to raise your hand, but you can pray this prayer. And when you pray this prayer, you're opening up your heart and you're inviting to receive Christ. I'd like everybody, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned. And I know my sin has separated me from you. I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life and I turn from my sin that I can follow you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. Very excited for you. Now listen, very important for you to know this. Raising your hand doesn't save you and praying a prayer doesn't save you. And you might say, then why did you have me raise my hand and pray a prayer? because that was the point of faith that you opened up your heart and received Christ, and that's what saves you. When he comes in, when you open the door and he comes in, that's what saves you. Now, we have a new believers team and a new believers table. These people are great. We've got things that go on for new believers. We want to give you a Bible and a new believers packet. A lot of people raise their hands in church and make commitments and then walk out the doors and never follow through. You have to follow through. Let us come alongside of you and help you that you can have a great start in your walk with Christ and an even better finish at the end. Now, if you're watching online and you gave your life to Christ, we want to hear from you as well. Text us, Ready for Jesus, to 94,000. The link you get back now is our new believers card. Click on that card, fill it out. There's a place for you to tell us your story about what God did in your life and how he saved you. And you can check the box, I want to be baptized. And for every one of you here that hasn't been baptized, it's something you need to do. Jesus sent us out to make disciples, teach them to follow the commands of Jesus, and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's a sign of going under the water, your old man, your old woman, and then rising up in newness of life as you come out of that water. And it's something that God wants every Christian to do. And you can text Ready for Jesus to 94,000 and click I want to be baptized too, even if you've been a Christian for 50 years, you haven't been baptized. Let's get you baptized, all right? I want to pray for you. And I like to pray for you based upon what we've been covering. But I want to do something different today. I want us to thank God for giving his son. And Jesus for going to the cross, for turning his back to the lash and his face to those who would pull out his beard and his face to those that spit upon him. Maybe some of you have never thanked him for that. And it's high time that we do it, that we do it together. So the Bible says, let men everywhere lift up holy hands and pray. And I'm going to ask you men and women to lift up your hands now. And I want to pray. Father, we want to come together in the name of Jesus and thank you that you gave your son so we could have eternal life. That he went through all of that pain, the beating, the chastisement, the sorrow, the grief, the shredding of the back, the nails being driven through his flesh and into that tree, and him being hung up between heaven and earth while his holy blood and the life is in the blood dripped on the ground so that we could have forgiveness of sins through his blood. And we thank you that this horrible event brought us eternal life, and we will not be separated from you. And all who agreed said, Amen. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. May you never forget what he did for us and live for Jesus. Even as he died for you, surrender your life to live what he has for you.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We hope that our verse-by-verse studies truly help you to see that God is real. He wants a personal relationship with you, and his word is life-changing. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. For our local listeners, we invite you to join us at one of our two campuses. Our East Campus at Speedway and Camino Seco meets Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus, south of Palo Verde and I-10, meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you prefer, you can watch our service at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. If Practical Christian Living has blessed you and you'd like to donate, please visit PCLAZ.org. That's PCLAZ.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? We'd love to hear from you. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. We want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living TV Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. on KGUN 9. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living.
I wanted to have a stronger walk with Jesus. I wanted a better understanding of the Bible. And that's why I decided to enroll at Reach College of Ministry. The Bible study methods was only 8 weeks long, but it was life-changing. Both the instructor and course material met me right where I was at and gave me new tools to have a much better grasp of Scripture. Most importantly, my relationship with Jesus grew even stronger. I'm confident your experience will be life-changing. Attend in person or online from the comfort of your own home. Go to thereachcollege.org to start your journey. That's thereachcollege.org.